Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way.
Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And special guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
This is Jerry.
Welcome, Jerry.
It's good to be here.
Oh, we're happy to have you.
You're our first official distance guest.
Ooh, very exciting. It's my specialty.
And you were also the one responsible for making us watch this movie.
I am indeed.
A movie called Trainwreck. 2015, directed by Judd Apatow, who also directed The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, This Is 40, and then he also wrote Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story, You Don't Mess with the Zohan, Pineapple Express, some episodes of The Larry Sanders Show, and some episodes of Freaks and Geeks. However, this movie was written by Amy Schumer.
Have we done any Judd Apatow movies?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
You must hate comedy.
No, not at all. No, in fact, I was texting the brothers that I, against my will, I was blurt laughing watching this movie.
No, we have in fact reviewed comedies in the past. We usually try and avoid it though because it's hard to review comedy because so much of it is situational, and so spoiling it is counterproductive to people who want to go see movies. So, but we're happy to discuss this because it was a new experience.
Yeah, I was unaware of, I mean, I knew the movie existed, but I kind of stay away from this kind of a comedy movie. I don't know why, because I found this enjoyable for the most part, but why does Trainwreck, why did that spring to mind?
We were playing virtual Cards Against Humanity, Jason and some other longtime friends from high school, and the options that I was given for whatever this card were puppies and LeBron James. Now, everybody who knows me knows I'm a crazy dog lady and dogs are a huge part of my life and everything I do is around my dogs. But I really thought LeBron James was hilarious in Trainwreck. So I had a very difficult time choosing. And sure enough, I said this on the call. And the next day, my Facebook feed came up with memories and it said from 4 years ago, or I guess it was 5 years ago, LeBron James was hilarious in Trainwreck. So I messaged the team and said, see, I was not kidding. I actually thought LeBron James was hilarious in Trainwreck.
I think it's fair to say you're right.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. So, Brother Jay, had you seen this movie before?
Nope, I never saw it before.
Oh, that was a zipper. I was a little worried. I'm like, ah, this is dinner.
Sorry, it was burritos.
I interrupted. Brother Jay, had you seen this movie before?
Nope, not before tonight.
And what'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. It has some cringy moments. It has some hilarious moments. I love Bill Hader, so I think he's hilarious. And I like Amy Schumer, so it wasn't a hard sell. And there's so many people in this movie, not the least of which was like Colin Quinn was jarring.
Quinn, yeah, he's great.
I kind of enjoyed it. So no, I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was cute and funny and cringy, and it was. I didn't fall down laughing, but it definitely had some moments that made me laugh out loud. So.
Brother Drew?
I saw this movie when it first came out on video. I remember liking it fine. It didn't stick with me. It wasn't very memorable. The only thing that came to mind when we talked about doing Trainwreck was my memory was that LeBron James was surprisingly, like, legitimately good in this movie. So I watched it again this week, and it was still quite enjoyable. It was very funny. LeBron James was still good. Bill Hader is such a great, like, straight man. And, and an all-timer by Colin Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
He's really going for it.
I think one of the funny things about this movie is a lot of it is real, right? The father character, the Colin Quinn character, is very much like Amy Schumer's dad. The first scene where she's in bed with a guy and what happens, that's all based on a true story. So there's a lot of kind of elements of Amy's real life. I saw her do stand up last year when she was in the Portland area, and she talks about these stories. And in her book, she talks a lot about all of these stories. So it's kind of fun to see them all come to life in the movie. And I actually learned all of that after the movie. So it was pretty entertaining.
The book's very good, by the way.
What's the book called?
The Girl with the Lower Back Tattoo, something like that. Okay. Yeah.
That's fine.
If you get the audiobook, it's read by her.
Yeah, her first
to the audiobook.
Her first relationship in this movie too, John Cena, he was surprisingly funny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I do not want to like John Cena. But yeah, he was good in this movie.
If you have access to the internet, you need to search out the extended scenes and the outtakes, because there are far more filthy insults that he hurls in the movie theater, and they are awesome. and the extended sex scene where there is a much longer exposition of interchange.
It's like fucking an iceberg.
Yeah.
Such a great line.
Well, okay. So, and you may have noticed, I did not want to like this movie coming into it. I didn't want to like anybody in this movie. I mean, Amy Schumer's funny, and she's super cute. And you know, everybody down the line did a great job at this movie. But for some reason, I just have, like I said, I have a thing about this, but for no good reason. Cause like I said, it was great. I thought Colin Quinn, yeah, he's amazing. And doing the research, the tiny little research that we do, you know, there was
we meaning you.
Well, this week it was just me. Yeah. So part of the reason why LeBron James was so funny is because Chris Rock went with him at least one day on the set, and basically just fed him a whole bunch of ad libs, like just lines on the spot. So they had a ton more stuff to work with than with just on the page. But yeah, he pulled it off. I mean, it's not just editing. He did a really good job. And yeah, John Cena. I asked Journey today, there was some sort of, it was a Jimmy Pardo podcast where there was a trivia question. And the trivia question was, what politician is a member of the Wrestling Hall of Fame who won 300 matches, losing only one? So I asked that question of Kelly and Journey. Journey's like, I don't know anything about wrestling. I'm like, okay, fine. And they were pretty sure it was like Jesse the Body Ventura. Turns out the answer to the question is Abraham Lincoln. Because we're not really talking about professional wrestling. And yeah, apparently Abe Lincoln was, as a young man, quite a wrestler and a trash talker in the ring.
Yeah.
Or on the mat or whatever. Anyway.
And now we're all a little smarter.
Yeah, but only to get to this part of the story is I asked Journey if she knew names of any wrestlers. She goes, yeah, John Cena and The Undertaker.
Oh.
Wow. Turns out because they were on Scooby-Doo. But yeah, so there's no reason to like John Cena. But he's really funny.
He's hilarious.
And I think it's maybe because they are both he and Amy Schumer are just like not shamed of their bodies, they can pull off that kind of extended sex scene of just funny stuff.
Well, the sex scene was funny, but the movie theater was even funnier.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The movie again, watch the unedited version, the unrated version. I mean,
Well, and there's so many things that I found that were really smart in this movie. Again, was not expecting.
No, I choked on my soda when LeBron James was when was the last time you said you loved me?
Yeah. No, the fact that he was cheap was really fun. Mm-hmm.
And he was overall, he was just like a needy girlfriend in this movie.
The fact that, first of all, Tilda Swinton, unrecognizable to me at least.
Yeah.
As her boss at Snuff Magazine. Snuff Magazine. That's hilarious. And then all the, you know, the garbage stories they worked on, which there were some funny outtakes on that apparently too.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, you know, cast of thousands. And then, okay, so the movie theater scene, which was hilarious. The whole John Cena trash talking everything gay, which is pretty funny. But also the movie they were watching.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But by the way, which is included in the extras, if you get the extras.
Oh, there's like the whole short?
The whole short.
Oh, that's funny.
The dog walker.
Yes. Yes.
You know, with Daniel Radcliffe and Marissa Tomei.
It's like 5 minutes long.
Yeah. You know, there's like four Oscar winners in this movie.
Yeah. I know his raunchier lines were also funny, but the one that just really got me, because I think he delivered it so earnestly, was, "I will enter you."
Yes. Yeah. Well, what I loved is when he name checked Coco Beware.
Mm-hmm.
The
old school
wrestler. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. See, in the outtakes, he references, and I will slaughter this name, but Fukudomi.
Nope. You got me.
I guess he's, I don't know, must be some other kind of sports figure, but.
Well, I didn't realize until I watched some of the outtakes that the original line during the whole Matthew Broderick, Chris Everett, Marv Albert scene, the original line was saying, "This is Matthew Broderick's best work since Project X."
Yeah. And Matthew Broderick looked like it genuinely hurt his feelings.
But in the version I saw, it was War Games. I assume that.
Yes.
But what made it? Yeah. Because you could tell there was a lot of lines added after the fact, like where they cut.
When they cut to like a reaction shot.
Yeah, when you're just a reaction shot, talking. Not even over the shoulder. Like maybe that was just like some B-roll they had.
Kazuke Fukudome is a Japanese professional baseball outfielder. And the joke is, John Cena's like, "If you look at his jersey, though, it says, 'Fuck you, do me.'" It's those little things that made me laugh out loud. So,
have any of you seen Sisters?
No.
So nope. John Cena is pretty funny in that as well. So he's got a pretty good foothold on some comedy, and he's just this ridiculous drug dealing character, but still, you know, this super buff guy. And so I think John Cena's definitely has his foothold in comedy, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of him because I'm a comedy addict. So all those movies that you listed in the beginning, of course, I've seen them all. Of course, I've watched Trainwreck like 30 times.
Well, John Cena is also really funny in Blockers.
Oh, Cock Blocker. Yes, Blockers. Mm-hmm. Yes. He's also hilarious in that movie.
And that was another movie that was surprisingly good.
Yeah, that's another great one.
Jason's looking at Blockers.
No, I'm looking at John Cena. I wonder what his credits are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Drew's favorite actor, Dwayne Johnson, you know, he started out as something of a wrestler. I understand.
Love Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, these guys that's their first job is acting. They just happen to be doing it like nearly naked in a ring surrounded by a whole bunch of other people.
You can say it. It's gay style.
It's what?
Gay style. It's gay theater.
Oh, I wasn't thinking that, but yeah, sure. What's the line from Airplane? Do you like gladiator movies?
Ever seen a grown man naked?
The premise of this whole thing is that Colin Quinn has two daughters, Amy and Kim. Amy is played later by Amy Schumer, and Kim is played by Brie Larson.
Yeah, how many Oscar winners were in this movie?
Well, there's Marissa Tomei and Brie Larson, and I want to say Norman Lear, but that's not his name. the 100-year-old man who was the roommate or whatever in his living home.
Wasn't he on Saint Elsewhere?
Yeah, he's 100. He's been on everything. Like, he's older than Technicolor.
Now.
How old is Technicolor? I'm just going to point that out. Anyway, so Colin Quinn plays Gordon Townsend, and the movie opens with him telling his two daughters that he and their mother are getting divorced. And it's a nice little speech about how monogamy is not realistic. And then we fast forward 23 years where Amy Schumer, is a heavy drinking party girl who sleeps around while writing for this snuff men's magazine. And it's pretty great. This is kind of what I was expecting that the whole movie was going to be. Turns out the whole movie is a little bit deeper than that. And I thought there were some interesting directorial choices. They were supposed to show this parade of men she's sleeping with, like from her point of view. So you see all these men on top of her one by one. But they're like, no, that just makes her look too slutty. So instead you see the one by one, the men leaving her apartment, which is a subtle difference, but you know, and the fact that she is in control of the situation. So I guess control of the sexual situation is kind of fun. Cause all the men, at first I was like, oh, all the men in this movie are going to be like hapless, but not in any way threatening.
By the way, the old man, Norman Lloyd.
Okay, Norman Lloyd, there you go.
Still alive, born in 1914, so he's more than 100.
So he won any Oscars?
He knew Oscar.
Nominee, winner at the Venice TV Prize for Alfred Hitchcock Presents, but that's it.
Oh, okay.
Which is a shame.
So, well, if you see the extras, he was getting a lot of his lines fed to him too, because when they were just kind of ad-libbing, they would come up with a line for him and like six different people down the line had to give him the lines.
Yeah. He couldn't barely hear.
Exactly. Yeah. So Amy is again, a party animal who doesn't have anything but casual relationships. Her most significant relationship is, with a gym addict named Steven John Cena, who we find out is attracted to her because he first thought she looked like a dude, which is
from behind.
Yes. From behind. Exactly. Yeah. And just the fact that you have this character who then also goes to see this bullshit art movie. All right. At that point I was like, okay, this is kind of funny. And then of course the exchange in the theater, with that other couple is amazing. Like, you want to take it to the parking lot? Fine. If you can't find me, I'll be the closest one on Grindr. But then, you know, like, again, Tilda Swinton, you know, I guess I never recognize her in anything because she always looks different. But yeah, she's great as a horrible boss. But she ends up assigning Amy to write an article about a sports doctor named Aaron Connors, Bill Hader. And we've talked before about Bill Hader. I wasn't a big fan of Bill Hader until I saw It, Part 2. Because he's weird looking.
You didn't like him from SNL?
I never really saw him on SNL.
Oh, my God. His Stefan character is the funniest thing on Saturday Night Live in the last 15 years.
People tell me.
Which character, Jason?
Stefan.
Oh, Stefan. Yes. Stefan is fantastic.
Yeah. His story arc was fantastic. At the end of his run where he marries Seth Meyers.
Oh, I've missed that.
You need to watch it. It's hilarious. No, no, go seek it out. It was, I think it was the final episode he was on before he left the show. Seriously, it was hilarious. He, you know, but that whole gag where he and his writer, the writer wouldn't ever tell him necessarily what joke they were going to put up, which is why when he is on camera at Saturday Night Live, he was reacting because the lines were new to him. So...
By the way, that's why I don't like the Michael Che, Colin Jost Weekend Update.
Why is that?
Because they laugh at too many of their own jokes. Now, I haven't seen Stefan, so I'm sure it's hilarious. But yeah, they will laugh before they tell the joke. They will laugh as they're telling the joke. They'll laugh after telling the joke. Then they'll talk about telling the joke.
Bill Hader tries not to laugh. You can tell because there's sometimes where he is really struggling.
Oh, sure.
And there's sometimes where he just can't help it.
Also, I find his eyebrows disturbing.
He looks Bill like Hader's an alien. Eyebrows?
Yeah, it reminds me of the marionettes, like in Being John Malkovich. It's like there's several different points of articulation. I'm seriously, go search out Bill Hader. Yeah. You can imagine John Cusack with the long hair controlling his eyebrows from above. At least one of us can.
Wow.
Okay.
So anyway.
You know, Henry Winkler is going to come after you for that one.
Amy has to go interview this surgeon, sports doctor guy. And she, during this whole thing, she's talking to her sister, Kim, who, by the way, is married to Mike Birbiglia. We know Mike Birbiglia as the guy who wrote and starred in Sleepwalk With Me, you know, because he jumped out of a second story hotel window when he was sleepwalking once.
He has another special out on Netflix within the past year that's very funny.
Oh, let me tangent while I'm thinking of it.
Oh, 25 minutes in.
I think it's Amazon Prime. But if you don't have that, you can get all this whole series, which I recommend on as a podcast, called the Alice Frazier Trilogy. Have you heard of Alice Frazier?
I have the name's familiar.
Alice Frazier, F-A-R-S-E-R, I think. She's Australian. She's wickedly funny. But her, these are all like one-man shows or events because they do like the Melbourne Comedy Festival. It's a month long. Or the Edinburgh Comedy Festival that's also a month long where they tour this basically one-person show, all these different people. And anyway, it's a trilogy. It's really funny, but it's talking about serious things. And she's hilarious. So that's my pick of the week jammed in here while I remember it. Because it's not in my notes. Anyway, so yeah. So we have what Alistair's the son, the stepson.
Yeah, super creepy stepson.
Yes.
Yeah, he's stabbing and kittens Spain in the basement.
And stuff. And I can't wait to see how it works out.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. You know, the guy who was it, Donald, the intern at the magazine?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He and Tilda Swinton were in, We Need to Talk About Kevin.
And she was his mom, right?
Yes. And he was Kevin. Yeah. Alistair will be Kevin someday.
He's also the Flash in he Justice is the Flash. League.
Yeah. So, Amy interviews Aaron, and the introduction doesn't go well because she hates sports. And
well, she doesn't really know sports. Exactly. Is the problem.
Yeah, I mean, she does follow, you know, small teams.
The Long Island Mediums. And this is where we meet LeBron James.
Yes.
For the first time.
And LeBron James is hilarious in this movie. There's no question.
Also, he was super skinny.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen him lately. He was super skinny in this movie.
Well, and this is while he was playing in Cleveland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before he abandoned the city for the second time?
Yes.
So, among Aaron, the surgeon's other things, it's like he listens to Uptown Girl while he's performing surgery. He is like the whitest person. And we get Amy's narration of this like love scene montage, which is pretty funny. But it's going too well. They had a meet cute. It's all lovely, but she's actually has feelings for him, but she can't. And by the way, she's writing a story about him and they go out drinking and she basically takes him home, although to his place, much to his surprise, but then breaks her own rule by sleeping over. And the scene of getting comfortable to go actually go to sleep is hilarious.
Don't breathe on me.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and all the scenes of her sort of falling for him are intercut with Bill Hader talking to his buddy LeBron James about it.
Exactly.
And those scenes are all very funny because LeBron James is so just like so sweet and earnest and straight. I think my favorite was the basketball scene where he's just like casually annihilating Bill Hader at basketball while trying to get him to talk about his feelings.
I think the Chris Rock biggest contribution was that whole scene where he's talking about like getting an attorney making sure that he has protection.
Representation before penetration.
Exactly. Which I, what is he quoting Kanye at some point?
Yes.
Yeah, he ends with Kanye lyrics.
I think what makes LeBron James so funny in this is he's the antithesis of what we think of a rich professional basketball player, right?
Exactly.
That character, I think Drew, you said it perfect. Like he's sweet, right? He's super sweet and he's sincere and, you know, he cares about his friend. And mm-hmm. all the portrayals we see of professional basketball players are all about them. And this is not about LeBron, except for the fact that he's cheap.
Yes.
Which I also think is hilarious. I'm not giving Sunglass Hut another $30.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. So that's, I think that's what makes it so great, is because it's just not what we expect.
Yeah. He was willing to be the butt of the joke.
Yeah. In the same way that John Cena, mm-hmm. you got to give him props because he was always the butt of the joke as well. Some cases, literally. But then real stuff starts to happen, like Colin Quinn dies.
Yeah.
After we've grown to like him, because he's not just a curmudgeon, but he is a curmudgeon. And so he dies, and we get this great funeral scene where she gives a wonderful eulogy that's both hilarious and heartwarming and tragic.
His whole riff on how Bill Hader's not a real doctor was brilliant.
Well, it's the same. I mean, also his riff on why Alistair isn't a real son is also hilarious, too.
Oh, that one was brutal.
Yeah.
So real, though. You can imagine that guy saying that, right?
Well, that's the thing, is like, you know, a lot of this has to just, come directly, as you said, from her life.
It did.
Yeah. And the fact that her dad has MS is both shocking and sad. Although he, at least as of the movie, was still alive. But anyway, Aaron is being, he's being given an award by Doctors Without Borders and wants Amy to go along and be supportive. But of course, she gets a phone call from her boss and runs out during his speech. And so he comes out afterward and yells at her and gets mad at her. And she just assumes they are breaking up. But then they talk about how, no, this isn't breaking up. We're having a fight, which I thought was pretty smart stuff.
And see, one of the deleted scenes, it depends on which version of the movie you saw, but an important scene that wasn't in the main movie that's in one of the extended scenes is where he asks her to help him write the speech. And there is a sequence where they are discussing the speech and where he's too nervous to deliver it. He says, how about if you're sitting in the audience, I'm just going to pretend I'm only giving the speech just to you. And so as long as you're there, I'll be able to concentrate on the speech.
Which makes more sense, because that was not what I saw.
Well, and so it adds more gravity. When you know that, it adds more gravity to the angst that he feels that she walked out. Because otherwise, it just seems like he's, a little overreacting.
Yeah.
Drew's taking a pause.
It's okay.
We can pause.
Semi-naked child running up the stairs.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, well.
Of course, I don't have my contacts in, so I can't see.
Yeah, that scene would have made a difference, as it turns out.
There's actually a couple pieces of deleted scenes that were before the speech. When he's talking about having her help him write the speech and they're discussing it, when they're done writing it, she and him go out on this drunken bender across town. And so you see all of them doing these drunken antics through different bars and different situations, which culminates in them stealing a horse-drawn carriage because he has to liberate the horse because they abuse them. It's like, we have to free the horse. So there are some, it is really worth going back and watching either the extended scenes or I'm sure there's probably a cut with them. But it is some hilarious stuff. And I realize it would have made the movie like 800 hours long, but, I think would have been, Jesse wants to watch it. So we'll go back and we'll watch the full thing. So
after the speech thing, they have the argument that lasts all night long. The morning before, he's repairing Amari Stoudemire's knee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all very funny. But then of course they break up.
Pretty good pratfall by Amari Stoudemire.
Oh yeah.
See why he was a professional athlete.
Yeah, all of the athletes in this movie, again, may have been a little bit of editing, but they all did a great job.
I mean, not Tony Romo.
Well, he was fine in the outtakes, though.
Yeah, in the movie, he choked like it was the playoffs against Seattle.
Ugh.
So Amy goes out drinking with her coworkers, including Donald, the intern, Ezra Miller, as we know from The Flash in a million movies, apparently.
Just one.
Huh?
Just one movie.
Oh, no. If you look at his IMDb, he's in The Flash in like 16 movies. Maybe some of them are in pre-production or whatever. But was he not in Justice League and what else?
That was it.
Okay. No, he wasn't like Batman versus Superman or something?
For like 3 seconds.
Ah, okay.
He's still in the movie. He was more in the movie than I was in the movie. Probably made more for that 3 seconds than I made last year.
Yeah, he probably had to go to like makeup for 20 hours to do his 3 seconds also.
Right, exactly.
They did have to glue a giant beard on his face.
Well, he's the Flash. He can do a lot in 3 seconds. That's his whole point, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nicely done.
Thank you. So the sex scene between Amy and Donald, who we find out later is 16 years old, is sort of the bookend to the John Cena sex scene.
Well, and here you also miss a great deleted scene where he pulls out his treasure chest for her.
His treasure chest?
Yes.
His treasure?
That's yes. Terrible.
Treasure. With a multitude of sex toys.
Oh.
Oh my God.
So I'm telling you, seek out the deleted scenes because I think they would have made it an even more cringy yet hilarious movie.
Would it make him a little less innocent, though?
Okay, that's perspective. How he's snorting Adderall off her forehead, and
I understand that all. But.
No, it doesn't make him any less innocent.
There's nothing about him that you perceive as innocent until the moment that he goes, "Mommy."
Exactly. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Up until that point, you're like, "This is one weird dude."
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So
the pineapple.
Yeah. Well, you know, okay. So people at work have said pineapple for a couple of years now, and I didn't even know where it came from. So
now you do.
Now, you know, you're welcome. Brought you up to the appropriate cultural reference.
Now, if you can just get them to watch Roadhouse, you guys would be on level playing fields.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
Who hasn't
I'm
seen
not
Roadhouse?
That.
Oh, come on.
I had a recruit that, I have a whole academy of like 4 or 5 people that I was training that none of them had seen the movie Roadhouse. And it's an important part of the beginning of my training. So it's like, that's when I learned I was old. Also, I had a recruit that was born after I started working at my job. So that's also.
You know, being at home with my children for the past 7 weeks has been great. It has afforded me the opportunity to, close your ears for this one, to use that very scene from Roadhouse. Like, you're nice until I give you permission not to be nice.
Yeah.
And I got to, you know, sort of do it as my own and take credit for it. It was great.
Sweet. Yeah.
I was just kidding. I did not say a bad word yet.
But you will. Probably.
Is that a bag of ice?
It is. Her sister just stabbed her with something.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. She's definitely an Anderson.
Not a joke.
Yeah. Oh, no. Of course not. Yeah.
It runs in the family.
Yeah. I'm waiting for my daughter to like chip a tooth while sleeping or something. That's what it's come down to.
Just keep the corn nuts away. She'll be fine.
Oh, I'm bitter that this orthodontia thing is still costing me every month. And she hasn't been to the orthodontist in 2 months now, or at least a month and a half.
They're not cutting you a break.
It turns out they don't cut you a break at all. They just, I guess I could have said, basically they said, this is going to be $8,000 and this is how much it'll be a month with zero interest if you like. And I said, yeah, I'd like it that way, please. So
nice.
Yeah. Anyway.
I've got two of those in my future.
I know. It's not great. So, Jerry, yeah, I don't know how much of the podcast you listened to before, but a great deal of tangential whining by me is to be expected. So I apologize if you're not prepared for that.
I have listened to many episodes.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Not in a while, because the list was all movies that I either wanted to see or were scary, and I don't watch scary movies. I can't even listen to you talk about them.
Oh, okay. As I look up and see two dark figures in the background from Drew's house. Don't turn around, Drew. Don't turn around. So after Amy sleeps with, or doesn't sleep with, but nearly sleeps with the 16-year-old, ends up getting fired. But also Aaron is moping around because of the breakup. And by the way, they've broken up for at least a couple days because Amari Stoudemire's surgery was canceled for that day. It was rescheduled for like 3 days in the future. So he needed to focus and be properly rested.
They were broken up for way longer than a couple days because they don't get back together until after he's already playing basketball again.
Oh yeah, that's true.
He says we need to take a few days off. Okay. And then I think that's when they end up breaking up. Mm. And she ends it, right? He's like, I need a little bit of time. And
yeah.
and that's when he gets on her about, yeah, it does bother me that you always smoke pot. And it does bother me that you sleep around, that you slept with a lot of guys and that you drink all the time.
And she's been looking for any excuse to break up with him anyway.
Right.
Because she's not built for that kind of love. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
But then LeBron, who, again, he could have been a fine cameo, but turns out he's an actual, like, main part of this cast.
Yeah, he's a large part of the movie.
Yeah. He stages an intervention for Aaron involving...
Oh, my God, the intervention.
Matthew Broderick as himself, Chris Everett as herself, and Marv Albert as himself.
I didn't really love this scene in the movie, but the outtakes were amazing. Marv Albert is so bad that he almost kills LeBron James.
Oh, yeah. And Matthew Broderick looks actually uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not having a good time.
He also looks like Uncle John.
Yeah, a little bit.
I just was uncomfortable, or maybe not uncomfortable is not the right word. I was just aghast when Chris Everett was, you know, being called a cock block. So.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's trying to pick him up right there.
Yeah.
I like the scene because it's so ridiculous with just the most ridiculous group of people.
Yeah.
When I first saw, I was like, Matthew Broderick, what? And Chris Everett and you know, and then the play by plays. It's just so I don't really love absurd comedies like mm-hmm. Earmuffs, Jason. I don't really like Monty Python all that much. And we watched a ton of it when, of course, in high school. And I don't like outrageous things like The Hangover. I mean, it's fine, but it's not really my style. Seth Rogen's movies are a little over the top for me. But this really bizarre spin on this fairly normal rom-com with a great cast, right? Because it is a romantic comedy in the end. Yeah. And it gives it almost that tiny bit of absurdity, whereas a lot of comedies take that absurdity to kind of all these different levels. And that's when I just can't relate to them. But that's why I enjoyed it, because it's just this really bizarre twist. And it's short, so you don't have to live through a lot of it. But it's very ridiculous.
I think you have nailed why I kind of like this movie, because it starts out as really absurd. But as the story goes along, it becomes a much more conventional rom-com with enough absurdity thrown in to just remind you that, yeah, this is an Amy Schumer thing and she's hilarious.
Yeah.
So I like that it takes a little bit of a turn. And then we get, you know, Marv Albert.
Didn't he have some bad, unfortunate sexcapade in a hotel room where he got lost? He got kicked out. Yeah, that's what I remember. Okay.
Is there a wig involved, or was that?
I think so.
Yes, he wears a wig. There was biting involved.
Oh, God. Jeez. So, okay. I don't know about Chris Everett's past, except she was married to a loudmouth guy and was a great tennis player. But Matthew Broderick killed a guy, or two maybe, by driving the wrong side of the road with Jennifer Grey in Ireland. And yeah, so at least half of that intervention is like criminals.
Baggage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
She loses her job.
She loses her job. And she ends up like mending fences with Kim. And I like the fact that Mike Birbiglia pretty much like just plays a doofus, just sort of straight up. Like he knows this is not his movie.
He does have that great scene with Bill Hader where he kind of slut shames Amy.
Yes. Yes.
Which one's that?
At the baby shower, and he tells Bill Hader to keep her away from the athletes.
And
he turns around and super straight is like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, and then all of the friends, all the other friends disappear, leaving mm-hmm. them the two together, which is hilarious.
I also like he has this great line when he's talking about an article they read in the magazine about having a threesome. And he says something to the effect of, like, I was a pretty good actor in high school. Do you remember that one?
Yes,
that was another, right? That's such a great line. And that totally made that scene.
Oh, yeah.
The whole baby shower was great.
Yeah, so there's additional takes of what he said as opposed to the threesome. So there's different scenarios. There's also different scenarios of stories that the women told in their little secret club.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about the club.
There are skeletons in the closet.
There are so many different ones.
I loved the way it was in the movie, with just starting off with a couple really tame ones, and then Amy goes, mm-hmm. and while everybody is super shocked, the final lady just kind of mutters under her breath that
yes.
Tim and his brother double team me on Christmas Eve.
And it was amazing, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's pretty raunchy. She closed for Amy Schumer, and there was, it was probably the raunchiest comedy I've ever seen. She was
very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's a very, very funny person, and she does this bizarre singing stuff. So she does a lot of singing and dancing with nudity.
Okay, and what's her name? And by the way, why isn't Tim Meadows in every movie?
He's pretty funny.
Probably cost too much.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, because he always makes even just for just a moment, he makes the movie better.
Alex Rodriguez. No, fuck that guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Also, we've many times already we've seen him in the movie, but David Tell.
Oh yeah, I love David Tell as like the homeless guy.
You heard the whole thing about Amy Schumer's baby's name, right?
Huh? What's
she named her? She had a son a couple years ago, and she named him Gene. And his middle name was after her friend Dave Attell. So his middle name was Attell. And just recently she changed it because someone pointed out to her that she named her child Jean Attell. Genital. So she changed it to Jean David.
That's hilarious.
I believe the actress's name is Bridget Everett.
Yes.
Yes, Bridget Everett, yeah.
Okay. And Nikki Glaser, who's also one of the bridal shower friends, she's mm-hmm. hilarious too, but she didn't get much to work with this, and she must have hit the cutting room floor.
Yes, there are many different scenarios that are discussed. At one point, which Amy Schumer admits that once she let a taxi driver finger her.
Oh, So here's again my failing modern SNL. I thought Leslie Jones was hilarious on the subway.
Yes.
And I'm still trying to figure out if Pete Davidson is funny.
I think he's funny.
I haven't seen a situation where he's been successfully funny, except for that goofy look he has in his face, which is charming in a way, I guess.
What I think is funny about Leslie Jones on the subway is her role in Ghostbusters, which yes. also involves her being in a subway.
Except she actually works for the subway, so yeah, her scene right, exactly. is saying, like, what do I look like? I work for MTA?
Exactly. So that's what makes that... I guess you have to, you know, Ghostbusters came out after that, but...
No, still. But yeah, so what has Pete Davidson been in that's funny?
Saturday Night Live. He's pretty funny.
Nope.
I love Pete Davidson's when he's on Weekend Update. That's when I think he's the funniest. Because he says ridiculous things. Just kind of his view on the world.
He has a comedy special on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Eric. I don't get the Pete Davidson thing. Just
maybe I'll have to investigate his comedy special, but like, maybe he's just not for me.
Could be. Could be.
No. Empirically, he's not funny. That's a fact.
Of course, yes.
Oh, okay. In the comedy calculations.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The best he can hope for is the string of numbers that if you turn over says boobs. So anyway, this actually turns into a pretty straightforward romantic comedy at the end where she takes her story to Vanity Fair and it gets published and she sends him a copy of the magazine. And then Amari Stoudemire. No, it's not. Yeah, it is the game that he comes back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after the game is over, and she arrives at the stadium, and one of the cheerleaders, who, by the way, she has scoffed at cheerleading, one of the cheerleaders has him come back to look at her knee and has her want to talk to
Stoudemire.
Amari, yeah. And he goes there, and sure enough, we have this ending big old cheerleader scene.
Well, she's pretty funny. Terrible.
What's that?
Like, she's a pretty bad dancer.
Oh, yeah. No, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's terrible and then tries to make that shot at the end.
The face plant.
Yes.
And then
yeah, this scene went a little too cornball for me. I did not enjoy it. I found it pretty cringy. Like, there were a couple... So there were the surgery scenes, which really made me cringe. Like,
oh, but you know, that was one of my...
And the dancing scenes at the end. Those made me equally cringy. I just couldn't take it.
Let me tell you, against my will, okay, the surgery scenes, I'm just kind of looking away. But the fact that when she threw up on the glass, I blurt laughed way against my will. I don't want to like that kind of humor, okay? But I could not help myself. My wife, who was in bed with me at the time, turned over and wanted to make sure I was okay because I was I've got headphones on, looking at a very small screen, you know.
And you know too what much about made that scene so funny though?
What?
It was how good Bill Hader and his angular eyebrows were at keeping a straight face. That's what made it so funny.
Yeah, that's why even with the mask, he's got all that eyebrow mm-hmm. work to do.
Yeah,
yeah. No, if your eyebrows had the 27 points of articulation like his does, you could do so many things.
I'm a sucker for physical comedy. So when somebody falls flat on their face, I cannot help but laugh. Like, I know it kind of lowers my IQ by like 10 points, but I can't give it up. I just think it's hysterical.
No, I disagree. I think you can still be smart and like physical comedy like it. At least that's how I'm going to live with myself. Again, it's not all about me, but my perspective certainly is. I think I don't want to like this kind of movie. Generally, I kind of avoid comedies, and it's always been sort of, well, life is funny enough. Like, if I want to escape into a movie, I'll...
Not lately.
Well, exactly. It's like, yeah, I want like violence and sex, things that risky sex and violence, things I don't actually get. So I can live vicariously through that. And, you know, living vicariously through a cringy comedy is not usually my favorite thing. Although I love The English Office. So, again, I'm a hypocrite in everything.
I think this movie would have been in a much lesser cast of characters and much lesser competent hands than Judd Apatow. I think this movie would have been terrible. But I think it was cultivated and cast and written in such a way that it really comes into its own comedy gold. This movie would have been just another schlock, bad rom-com.
Yeah.
But I think this movie had much more substance because it has a little bit of depth to it that because there is a realism degree to it, but also it's just also ramped up to the farcical level on other aspects. So
if yeah. Bill Hader had been played by Seth Rogen or Jason Sudeikis, it would have been just a crap movie. It would have been, mm-hmm. again, Hangover 9.
Yeah.
So I was going to say I agree with you because I really like I Feel Pretty, but it is definitely – it's kind of a Freaky Friday kind of thing. Not where she switches bodies, but she kind of switches her perspective. And, you know, it's much more of a kind of a female empowerment thing, but it's not quite as funny. And it doesn't have all these kind of little layers and all these little characters. And I hated the Goldie Hawn movie she did, the movie with Goldie Hawn that Amy Schumer did.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, that was – I couldn't even watch half of it. And if I like a comedy, I'll just watch it over and over and over and over again, like in the background. It's what I do instead of listening to music. But the other, if you liked this one, another one you might like, even though it stars Seth Rogen, is Long Shot.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good one. And it does not have, it's not typical Seth Rogen. Like there are a couple of pretty obnoxious Seth Rogen things. They're physical comedy, which is why I find them funny. But, and you know, and there's kind of one very Seth Rogen kind of thing. But for the most part, it's very similar in nature to Trainwreck.
And I'm just looking up I Feel Pretty. That's Michelle Williams. And let's see.
And I think Longshot is on HBO right now.
Oh.
I really like Busy Phillips.
Yeah, me too.
Cougar Town, man.
She's hilarious. Just in interviews, she's really funny.
Seriously, watch Cougar Town. It is a great series.
Is that Courtney Cox?
It is. I don't want to like her, but the cast is so hilarious.
I cannot get over... I watched the first season, but I could not get over her plastic surgery. Courtney Cox just does not look like Courtney Cox.
Yeah, but the show is worth it just for Ellie's lines, especially as you get into the second and third season. She's the best. So
what's that on?
I that's no longer airing anymore. It's on. I think okay. We watched it on Hulu or something. We actually finished it. We watched a couple seasons on TV, but also the running gag that every week they have a different open, so they have a different. They make fun of themselves so much within the show.
Was it Betty White in that?
No, that's Hot in Cleveland or something.
Oh, Hot in Cleveland.
Something like that.
Cougar Town is both on Hulu and Amazon Prime.
Yeah, all right, I recommend it just because I think it's one of those. It's got.
Is it a comedy or is it something else that's also funny?
It's a comedy. Right? It's a comedy. It's both got some stupid funny, but it's got some really smart funny to it. And it has some story arcs. And some of it is just like, seriously, to me, it's one of the few things that when it was out where we would watch it, where I would actually laugh out loud. It takes a lot to get me to laugh out loud, but anyway, I just the characters and the coalescence of the show I thought was really funny. So, plus it spawns lots of fun catchphrases, which, you know.
Well, now I have a long list.
Yeah, I was like, wow, you're taking notes during the show. I should do that just for editing reasons, but I can't.
I'm always taking notes. This is how people know. This is how I participate in most meetings.
I'm this guy, but I have to tell anybody to mute their damn phone.
Yeah, there we go. So, final thoughts, notes about the movie itself?
Okay. No. I do have a note for Drew, though, because did I hear that you're a huge Dwayne The Rock Johnson fan? Or was that a joke that was said earlier in the...
I think it was a joke, but I think he's fine.
Okay. Well, because apparently I like to post about, you know, LeBron James and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because I said, if someday they make an inspirational sports movie about my life, I would like to be played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So probably yeah. after watching one of his probably after watching Central Intelligence is when I probably read that.
Central. Okay, we'll have to add that to my list.
One of the best scenes in cinematic history is in, I believe it's in Furious 7.
Oh my God.
And The Rock has been sidelined for most of the movie because he lost a fight with Jason Statham, in which he broke his arm. But towards the end of the movie, when he needs to get back into the fight, he gets ready by flexing so hard that he breaks out of his cast. And it was such an inspiring moment that it almost overshadowed the fact that it was Paul Walker's last film. Almost. We will talk about this later, Eric, at length.
I know. Yeah. Yes, I was mocking Drew a little bit because of his love for Hobbs and or Shaw.
Which I still haven't seen.
I've watched Hobbs and Shaw, and I've decided that I need to watch all the Fast and the Furious movies, so I'm only two in. But I had to look up the proper order. I mean, Jason, we've sunk to a new low. I just finished my first season of Project Runway, because I only have one season left of Top Chef, and I'm trying to savor that one, and I don't know that I can do another. So I haven't seen the finale yet, so I was going to finish that tonight, but...
Okay.
So if you're going to watch all the Fast and Furious movies, you have to start with Point Break.
Yes. As it turns out, you do.
Well, I have seen Point Break. Do I need to go back and watch it again and then one and two?
Yes.
No, it doesn't hurt, as it turns out.
And then after you watch Point Break, you need to listen to Flula Borg's book.
Yes.
What?
This is Flula lots Borg? Of homework.
Yeah. Flula Borg.
Wanderlust USA.
Yes. I know. I said the same thing. What the hell is a Flula? F-L-U-L-A.
Flula Borg. B-O-R-G. Borg.
Yes.
I rented it from the library. He's hilarious.
Yeah, I bought it on Audible on Jason's recommendation.
And it's six hours of comedy gold. The last chapter, I think, which is completely about the Iditarod.
Yeah, it's about Alaska.
Yeah.
Well, sort of.
Okay, so. But
the
so
first chapter is completely about person? Point Break. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, if you look up, just as a one example.
Flula Borg on YouTube, if you look for Flula Borg and Party Pooper.
How do you spell Flula?
F-L-U-L-A.
Okay, well, my library doesn't have it, but I will look it up on Audible.
Yeah.
All right.
But if you look Flula Borg on YouTube and look for Flula Borg and Party Pooper, that's how I first became acquainted with him. And I nearly wet my pants when I watched it. So,
which, by the way, is the thing on YouTube is simply him doing a cell phone video in his car.
Yeah.
Like in the morning.
All right.
So,
and he's very German.
I'm always looking for excellent. Oh, it's 4 hours and 26 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to buy that instead of using a credit.
Oh, yeah. No, I bought it. I didn't. Yeah.
All right. So I have a lot of homework. Sleepwalk With Me, the Alice Fraser trilogy. We need to talk about Kevin. I've seen that. I didn't love it. I'll have to go back.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one either, by the way.
I'm going to go find some good Pete Davidson stuff. Cougar Town. I wrote down Hot in Cleveland because it's Betty White. I have to watch Point Break before I watch the rest of the Fast and the Furious movies, and Flula Borg's audiobook as well as videos on YouTube. Yes. Did that cover all of the homework that I have from this 1 hour podcast?
I think so. Yes. We expect your report here. Well, we'll give you a generous time limit.
Okay.
Eric and I also have a Not in the Creepy Way episode about Point Break and the Fast and the Furious that Jason refused to be part of.
Jason.
I have limits.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. No one's surprised. Come on.
So to end the regular format. So Brother Jay, what's your verdict?
This is an A movie to me. It is, for being a comedy, it was actually, it made me laugh, but also it didn't feel like I was, it didn't feel like work, and it didn't feel, although it had some definitively gargantuanly large cringy moments that made me have feels at times. I thought it was well done, and some of the funny was just so funny that it makes up for some of the cringy. So I I'll watch it again with boyfriend Jesse. We'll watch the completely unrated version with all of the extra stuff, just so I can hear John Cena have filthy mouth sex all over again.
Brother Drew, was it worth it?
Well, before I answer that, have any of you seen the television show Freaks and Geeks?
Yes.
I have not.
No.
So let me know if you remember this scene, Jason. There's a scene that is both like funny and also really, really sad, which is sort of the whole tone of Freaks and Geeks.
It's the entire premise of the series.
Where the kid played by Martin Starr, he goes home after school, and he is the definition of a latchkey kid. So he goes home and he lets himself into his house, and it's this really quiet scene. And he makes himself like an after school snack, and then he sits down in his living room by himself, and he turns on the TV, and he's watching the Gary Shandling show. And he's just sitting there by himself, like laughing, like out loud. And it's kind of sweet, because, you know, he's having a good time. But it also, at the same time, it shows like how lonely his existence is, because it's also a running gag that he doesn't have a father. That scene always really stuck with me, because it was so well constructed. And he really committed to it. I bring this up because I kind of felt like that this week. So thank you for going with me on this journey. We are not in Anchorage right now, but like once a week we still have to make a trip back to Anchorage to, you know, pick up packages and check in on the house. This week my wife was not working, so when normally I'm the one that goes back, she went back this week overnight and took the kids with her. And so it was just me in the house. And so I made myself dinner by myself and then went down into our movie room, just behind me, which is kind of a cave, but great for watching movies. So normally I would watch a movie on my phone at night, but I actually sat down with my meal by myself and I watched this movie, and it was really funny. And I was laughing out loud by myself. And it kind of reminded me of that scene from Freaks and Geeks. So that's a very long-winded way to say that this movie is definitely worth it. It is very funny. It's well made. Everybody in the movie does a great job. We didn't talk about Brie Larson, but she's really good at being the straight-laced sister. She really brought like an emotional touchstone to this movie. But everybody in the movie, even the ones you think are going to be bad, like LeBron James, are so good and so funny. This is really a great movie, even with that cringe-inducing final dance number. this might be the first romantic comedy we've ever done on the podcast, and this was a worthy addition, I think. This is really good.
Yeah. No, I agree. I sort of against my will, I think it's great. I love this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to rewatch it all the time in the background necessarily, but I definitely, nobody phoned it in. It's great all the way through. You know, Judd Apatow gets lots of credit for getting all of this to look as great as it does on screen. So yeah, I dug it. I want to watch more of everybody. I want to see the LeBron James John Cena buddy movie.
Yeah. Check out Barry on HBO.
Oh, okay.
Not Bill for Hader. John Cena.
Yeah, that's it.
No,
okay. That's Bill Hader.
Yes. Ah,
okay. That's Bill Hader. Yeah.
Actually, isn't there a John Cena movie where he plays a fireman? That just came out, like a kids movie. I don't know.
haven't seen that.
Like a WWE action movie?
Well, like action movie for kids. Actually, that could be up for an Oscar this year, as it turns out. What with box office. So anyway,
so there's no more movies coming out the rest of the year.
So, Jerry, housekeeping. How'd you like your first experience on the Not in a Creepy Way, whatever this is?
It was great. I'm glad you liked the movie. Yeah. I think it would have been worse if you didn't like the movie.
That's not necessarily true. Yeah, sometimes the best comedy gold comes when we argue.
Yeah, it might have been a better conversation if somebody disagreed, but that's good.
Well, I'm glad I opened your horizons to something a little different.
So you'll have to think of another movie and come back.
Oh, most definitely.
Long Shot, please. Long Shot, and Central Intelligence. Those are two pretty funny movies, I think.
Okay, we can put those in the calendar.
Yeah,
you know, that's the thing is that sometimes when we talk about reason why we don't really talk about comedies very often is that, you know, humor is subjective and there's not usually like enough like nuanced scenes in a comedy, in a regular old comedy movie to like dig deep into. But this was great. This had plenty of, you know, had a real arc to it and it had really funny, like small scenes like the theater scene or the baby shower scene.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many great one-liners, like when she is getting clean and sober and she empties out her apartment and gives it to Dave Attell, the homeless guy. And he says, oh,
I love that one.
Booze, drugs, and a place to live.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, just the opening line where she takes that guy home and she is making all those jokes about his large penis.
By the way, there's like 60 of those.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Like, where's the last girl buried?
Exactly, yes.
And that is based on a true story.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Do we have housekeeping? Oh, I just say thank you, Jerry, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, if I hadn't said it before, this has been great. Thank you very much. We love different perspectives.
It.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, we're trying to encourage more guests, so
yeah,
now you can spread the word.
Yeah, it's mostly painless.
Yes, absolutely. I will certainly do that. Both the word of the podcast and the word of they won't eat you for dinner.
Yeah.
Nah. We're fairly benign.
Yeah. We most of us look fairly well fed. So, hey Drew.
Yeah.
I had to
mute you guys, by the way.
Because
you just kept texting me updates I did not want.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's the problem is that, so, you know, Jason works in public health and I work in public safety and we have this global pandemic. And yet I felt sorriest for Drew this week.
Yeah, exactly.
When oil futures went as low as -$37 a barrel. I almost texted Drew to say, hey, you're not really using your driveway, right, in the Anchorage house? So I can, because I got a guy coming with 1,000 barrels of oil.
Yeah. It's a little stressful times right now. But we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. If I was going to work for any oil company during this time, I'm working for the one I would choose.
Excellent.
Yeah. There's never been a layoff in the history of our company, which is highly unusual for an oil company. In fact, the last time we had a dip in prices, like back in 2015, where the prices started to crash from like $90 a barrel to $20 just in the span of a couple weeks. So many companies are panicking and, the owner of our company actually came up to give one of our kind of monthly all hands meetings. And he was talking about how that's not, you know, we are a lean company. We are very, some would say understaffed, some would say appropriately staffed, but we're definitely not overstaffed. And he talked about one of the reasons he did that is for times like this, when times are hard, you know, it's a lot easier for us to tighten our belts. And he had this great line. I hope I don't butcher it. But he said, the companies who respond to times like these by laying off their employees because they don't have a business model built to do it, or abdicating their moral responsibility to their employees.
Whoa.
So I'm grateful that I work for an organization where the owner, a private company, where the owner has sort of those types of values.
That's fantastic.
So do we think Father Anderson is better that he retired? Do you think he would be apoplectic if he was still working?
You know, I think he'd be the same when he's retired. Are you worried that North Korea is going to disappear like in World War Z?
I don't know.
The entire population is gone. Nobody knows what happened.
It's possible.
Rapture.
Yeah.
COVID rapture for North Korea.
Or what about the evil sister?
Yeah. Have you
been watching that saga? Mm-hmm.
The evil sister?
Well, she's evil because she's a high-level member of that family in North Korea. But yeah, apparently the rumors are that that the esteemed leader of North Korea is seriously ill.
Yes.
And his basically the person that may be like next in line because he's killed everybody else. Literally.
And doesn't have any offspring, right?
Yeah, exactly. Is his sister.
Oh, he has children, but they're all young.
Oh, that's right.
Well, yeah.
Did he
kill their mother? But in a plot twist, we're going to find out that it's actually going to be his pot-smoking, Springsteen-loving brother that's going to take over the country.
There we go, yeah.
Sorry, just to finish up the first part of the story. Yeah, so I had a hellish week of you know, Zoom and Microsoft Teams meetings. And, you know, so like I'm sitting there and I just keep getting more and more texts from you guys. You're like, holy shit. It's like the price was like crashing while I was in a meeting.
Oh, no. And
it's like, I'm not emotionally equipped to handle this right now. You guys are getting put on do not disturb.
Yeah, probably wise.
We did it because we were concerned, so we just didn't want you jumping out a window somewhere.
Nah. Well,
I mean, the problem is it started during the text chain, it started with what Jason posted, the story about it being like the oil was $1 a barrel or something.
Yeah.
And then when I looked later, it had gotten much worse. So I was like, well, continuing the thread, we'll just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a fashion, I didn't know it could get worse.
But, you know, the thing about Alaska, and you guys can all appreciate this, is that, you know, the one thing that makes Alaska, well, two things that make Alaska strong is that we have the permanent fund, right, if we never need to fall back on it. And it's like $60 billion or something, depending on what the stock market is doing. But also, because even though a great deal of money, the biggest industry is oil, the second biggest industry, or maybe the first and oil is the second, is tourism. So what could go wrong with tourism?
Yeah.
How about no tourists for the next year?
And how about fishing? That's number three. Are they still fishing?
They're talking about how they can quarantine fishermen like out on boats and stuff before they catch. Seriously, it's it's everything is very complicated now. And yeah, and it also, you know, that brings up infighting between in-state fisheries and or fishermen and, you know, other countries' fishermen and all sorts of stuff. So it's very complicated.
Yeah.
And crazy. You know, I'm still glad this never really would happen, but I cannot imagine having a restaurant right now. Because what the fuck do you do? I mean, we will open on Monday, sort of. But there is no restaurant that can survive on 25% capacity. So most of them are not. Most of them will just do delivery or pickup.
My friend in San Francisco, they have a restaurant, and she said she's still working full time and they stopped doing delivery because she's like, what do you just work all day and you make $100? She's like, it just wasn't worth it. And of course they have her income to fall back on. So they started doing marinated meat delivery.
Wow. Yeah. I know Texas Roadhouse is actually selling off their steaks.
Yeah.
They have a steak access to that distribution. So they might as well, you know, use that.
Yeah, the restaurant supply companies here have opened their doors to citizens. so yeah. the groceries can still flow through. So
I heard in a part of an interesting story. Well, actually, sorry. I heard part of a story. I don't know how interesting it is, but about one of the things with the toilet paper problem is that there are two kinds of toilet paper. There's the at-home toilet paper, and then there's commercial toilet paper. You know, that nasty stuff that you wouldn't use at home if you ever had the choice to not. The problem is nobody's buying that commercial toilet paper anymore right now. I mean, huge office buildings, everything. There's all these public places just aren't, they don't need it. So that's causing problems.
I'm down to my last 48 rolls.
Should we get up a collection?
Thoughts and prayers.
I had actually bought 48 rolls of toilet paper in January from a company called Who Gives a Crap, which doesn't use plastic packaging.
Oh, and I was nice.
You know, and I'm really working on like reducing my carbon footprint, although it's a shitty time to buy an electric car, apparently, if gas costs nothing. So, well, I guess I'm not driving anywhere, so it doesn't matter anyway. But, and so I ordered, and they only sell in 48 rolls, but I still had some left over. And so that was in January. So I look like a hoarder, and I literally just used my last roll of my Costco toilet paper that I'd had. So I think I'm good for the rest of the year, maybe even longer. We'll see. I know you feel bad for me.
Well, I lit a candle. Actually, it's probably nice. Best for the bathroom anyway. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Oh, well. If only they can inject UV light internally.
Oh, good Lord. What preceded that conversation?
He was vamping. It was a briefing that the medical, I don't know who she was. I never know anymore because they did switch like they're on a carousel at this point.
Dr. Burks was there.
Yes. She had given a briefing and then sat down for, of course, the Mango Mussolini to vamp. And then he just started ad-libbing because he has to make himself the expert of everything.
I know. That's what I thought was so bizarre about the whole thing.
Well,
you know what? I mean, it's not really bizarre because it's actually total status quo for him. Like, yes. I don't know why I'm continuing to be shocked.
Yeah. But yet it's shocking every day.
It's just,
it's like, you know, I had an uncle that was a doctor. So, you know, I have a natural proclivity to this sort of thing. What?
I fucking hate snow. I hate it so much. I never want to live someplace that's cold. It makes me like, I'm seriously considering that maybe I got to move to Canada. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they've got their own problems.
If this asshole gets elected again, like, it's all over for me. I can't stay here.
So I still think fight from within.
Yeah.
I'm trying. In my little community. So Jason, you saw my post on Facebook about, you know, this being a group project where some people do all the work.
Yes.
And, that was after I went to the hardware store, you know, with gloves and a mask. And I got the list for my mom and me. And I was trying to repair some things. And I was like, okay, I just need to get this over with. And the next day I had to go to the grocery store. I'm trying to keep my mom out of the stores and not doing a very good job because she goes out with inadequate protection anyway, but less than 10% of the people in the grocery store in my town were wearing masks.
Yeah.
And most of them were not paying attention to the 6-foot rule. There were people with little kids walking around touching stuff. And the one thing that I've learned is it takes people a really fucking long time to decide what kind of Saran wrap to buy. Because I spend
waiting
a lot
at the end of the aisle.
I'm in the baking aisle, which is shared with a Saran wrap. And the last time, and then people like to pick one up and look at it. And they literally, it took these people about 7 minutes. And I was to, because I left and I came back and they were still there. I was looking for powdered milk.
They lick their finger before they pick up the Saran wrap and fill it with it and put it back.
I was like, but now Fred Meyer's 4 days out on delivery, so at least that's a little more reasonable. But before it was like 10 days. I'm like, I don't know what I need in 10 days.
Yeah, that was my problem is I've been shopping, but it's been, you know, for if I want the pickup, I can schedule a pickup, but it's 10 days. Like, I can't, like, I do menu plan. I menu plan every week, and but it's for the next week. But beyond that week, you know, I can't order. It's hard to order and plan. And then if I have perishables in between, I have to be very rigid. And sometimes I'm not getting home from work on time these days. So it's crazy.
Yeah. So now I looked on yesterday. So on Thursday, and I could get a pickup for Monday. So that's a huge improvement from 2 weeks when I did my last pickup. It, you know, I did it 10 days in advance and kept adding stuff to it. And then I just forgot all kinds of stuff. So I think I'm a little more disciplined now to figure it all out.
Well, the good thing, at least about Fred's, is if you place the order up until the night before, you can still change the order and add or subtract stuff. So
really? I did that. Yeah. So I bought for my mom, and I told Sarah, who's the other woman who lives on our property, I was like, hey, if you want me to get some groceries for you. And she had $120 worth of groceries. So that means I had to, and she didn't, like, my mom literally put in the click list, like she put it into her list and then texted it to me. So everything, I knew exactly what it was. And her, I'm like, they don't have that in a six pack. Do you want this instead? And and then, of course, they just put it all in one thing. Yeah. So we got there and I told them set up tables, and I pulled it out of the car because I'm socially distanced from everybody. So, and I just started setting things on the tape, you know, one table for my mom. I left my stuff in the car, and then I had to go through the receipt. And I was like, we're not going to do that again. We can all arrange the same pickup time, and I'm happy to go get it, but I am not doing that for you guys again.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but good for you.
About half of the people that were in Fred Meyer when I was, well, maybe a third, and probably about the same at Walmart when I was in there last, were employees shopping for pickup orders.
Yeah.
There's way more of them.
And the way things are headed right now, and unofficially, probably within the next 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to see the grocery stores being closed to the public, the large stores, because there's just, it's the risk is too high and the statistics are not good and people are not observing the proper behavior. And the only way we are going to slow this is by a total shutdown. The numbers from San Francisco are amazing. And they had the most draconian, most rigid lockdown. But they're also having the most success. And so that's what's going to get emulated, at least for the West Coast, I suspect, because the governors are all in agreement. So
I'm pleasantly surprised with our governor.
So,
shocked.
You have a bit of an advantage too, being that you're a little more remote. So you're a little better able to control who comes in and comes out, as opposed to, you know, Oregon, people can drive in from all kinds of places. So it's difficult to control. Yeah. As long as we have open borders between the states, it's very hard.
I think what Eric's point was is the way our governor's administration started out. It was looking like he was going to have a much more Trumpian response, but he's actually been really reasonable and actually been really good at these daily press conferences he has.
Yeah.
This is the one who stripped the university, right?
What's that?
This is the one who stripped the universities and
funding.
Oh, yeah. He gutted all sorts of levels of government.
Well, he was being controlled by outside forces.
Yeah. How's your mayor doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Berkowitz, right?
Our chief medical officer is great. I love her.
She's a superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah. She and the governor are the most impressive people during this whole thing. I mean, I guess I'm already inclined to like Berkowitz, but I've been super impressed by Dunleavy, and I was not expecting to.
Yeah.
Shout out to our parents who are doing a terrific job.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because it's difficult, and you know, it's difficult for all. And I know the feelings. So, but I think they're doing amazingly well. So,
Dad's been putting out my garbage for me every week, which has been super helpful.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's little things. Like, we've been doing, like, FaceTime with Grandma and stuff. Grandma and Grandpa, actually. And those little things make a difference. And it sucks. And, you know, everybody wants to, you know, obviously I want my child to see her grandmother and grandfather. But I don't want to kill them either. So, you know.
Yeah.
And since I have to expose myself at a certain point, you know, there's only so much social distancing I can do. We try as hard as we can at work, but it's a little difficult, especially while training somebody. So we do our best. We wear these damn masks, which are hot. And, you know, that there's a Dove commercial, I think, that shows all the people with, like, the mask marks on their face. And, yeah, that's how all of us feel at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful I do not have to, I mean, I go out and go out in the daily, wear a mask. Yeah. I mean, I do when I go out, but I've been out, I think, 3 times with a mask, and I broke out in rash on my face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, can't imagine.
Well, and I really appreciate Drew's stories of getting the mask tests before. The
respirator fit tests?
Yeah.
And I was laughing because, you know, the it consists mostly of just to see if you go crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. Now I understand.
Yeah.
Because you're rebreathing your own air, especially in something where you're completely encapsulated. Yeah, that is just weird. So.
Yeah. Try going to work in a public health building right now.
Oh, my God, Jason.
Because people think we have things that we don't have. I'm like, yeah, no. It's like, I can't sell anything to you. We're not that kind of, we're not Rite Aid. So, yeah, it's a little stressful. Luckily, they've started now. They make me, I should say, but they're making me work from home every other day. So.
Awesome.
But, you know, there's certain things that I can't do from home. So.
Yeah, they're getting an amazing amount of people in my job are working from home. But yeah, I'll never be able to do my job at home.
Yeah. So, well,
you know,
but as of today, all 7 of my pharmacies are still open. So I feel that's a victory.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's great.
Cause you know, the only reason I'm ever at Costco now is because I have to go to the pharmacy to get my meds. We were actually thinking of maybe transferring it over because really, like, do I want to go to Costco? Because we can never get all these things, all the meds, all
synced up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they've actually done a pretty good job. Like today I went to begin to pick up meds and there was probably about 25, 30 people in line in front of me waiting outside. But I just happened to hit a lucky time. I got to the end of the line. I waited like maybe a minute and a half and then boom, everybody got to go in. It's like, wow.
Well, the pharmacies are the only places making money right now. Medically sure. Wise. I mean, yeah. My pharmacies are making money right now.
Sure. Can't not get it.
Yeah. People still need their meds. So, yeah, the clinics, sure
liquor stores are doing fine.
The liquor stores are doing fine. The clinics are taking it hard because, you know, half of the clinics are open and socially distancing and only seeing urgent care clients and no elective procedures. And
oh, hospitals are drowning because they don't have the occupancy they're used to. So,
yeah,
you know, they're losing money hand over fist.
Yeah. Well, May 1st here, they're going to start opening up for elective procedures. Right? Yeah.
Elective procedures.
Elective is an elusive term because there's basically stuff that needs to be done that isn't life-threatening. But, you know, elective could be, hey, I need the cyst removed that, you know, isn't going to kill me anytime soon, but I need the cyst removed, that kind right. of stuff. So
my mom's partner had, he had surgery at Slocum today, which is the like rehab place, but he had, fallen and done something to a tendon. Cause you know, he's a 70-plus-year-old guy who was jumped in the back of his truck to wash it, hand wash it, and then jumped off the tire and, you know, used his arm. But that, I guess that was, that one had to be done within a certain period of time or it couldn't be done.
Right.
But yeah, like hip replacements and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so glad I had my surgery in October. All right, guys, I am not a late night person. So I have to to go, but thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, right. Thanks for the movie. Bye. That was great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have a good night. Okay. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye. So what's next week?
Next week was going to be Parasite if we want.
Yeah.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, so they go off on a tangent flow and maybe rambling. That's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away unless you're driving. Keep them open in that case. We got Aaron, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome. YouTube, not in a creepy way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way.